Christ is risen. Easter, resurrection, fire, beautiful music, powerful words. We're gathered together this evening to take hope, to tell the story, to recommit our own lives to worship, and near the end, to renew our own baptismal covenant, our own baptismal vows. We gather this evening to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. For those of us who lost people who were close to us, who we love deeply, what hope it gives that the story doesn't end when earth gets placed on top of the grave. For those who face injustice, no matter where it may be in the world, and they see their loved ones being killed because they stood up for truth and light, who went into the midst of darkness and there said to the darkness, I beg to differ. For them to know that the story isn't over, what hope. To know that justice will eventually prevail, but that the very understanding of justice will be transformed by the one whose resurrection we celebrate. Not justice as getting even or winning, but justice which offers forgiveness, which offers redemption, which offers the possibility of oppressed and oppressor, both being transformed and coming together and sitting around the table of the beloved. Resurrection. Death does not have the final word. Now, I find it odd, don't you, that this amazing thing that we celebrate this evening, the resurrection of Jesus, is told the way that it is in the gospel that Carolyn read. Short, Jesus lives. The young man in the tomb tells the three women, and then tells them to go and tell the disciples and Peter that you, so this includes them, as readers, it includes us, that Jesus will meet you in Galilee, just as he promised. But then the gospel ends with, and they said nothing to no one, a double negative in Greek, for they were afraid. That's the end. It's rare in classical and ancient Greek to end in a conjunction. That's where the story ends. Literally, they were afraid for, or and. It's like an ellipsis, three dots. Where's the celebration? Where's the yay? Party on, Jesus lives. What we see, though, is instead of a celebration for Mark, the first gospel written, the one on which Matthew and Luke are based, that for Mark, the primary interest, apart from stating that Jesus had been risen, that death did not have the final word, that Caesar's grip of terror, which he inflicted by the threat of the cross, is not the last word, and that grip has been broken and opened up somewhat. That Jesus had been raised. Mark's interest is in continuing the story. He starts the gospel with these words, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ. By ending where he does, with the ellipsis, the three dots, dot, dot, dot. And by ending with, tell the disciples, even Peter, that he goes before you and will meet you there. There you will see him. What Mark does is he returns the story back to the very beginning. For Mark, he's concerned after he tells the story of Jesus' life and crucifixion and resurrection, that the beginning of the good news of Jesus will continue in the lives of his disciples, even Peter and the women. And if we add that to that, even us, the readers of the story. The invitation for us is to meet Jesus where it all began, where Simon and Andrew heard the words, "Follow me," and they left everything and followed, where James and John heard, "Come after me," and they dropped what they were doing, their father in the boat with his hired servants, and followed, where Levi, sitting at the tax booth, heard, "Follow me," and not only left what he was doing there, but had a big party in his house where a bunch of other tax collectors came and found something profoundly compelling about Jesus. The gospel tells this compelling story of the one who at his baptism, the heavens opened and a dove descended and the voice said, "You are my beloved, I'm well pleased." The one who healed the sick and raise the dead. The one who changed the understanding of what it means to be inside and outside in table fellowship by welcoming all around his table, breaking taboos. He saw women as equals. He welcomed children. He gave in his life an image of what the kingdom of God looks like. That which our deepest yearnings in our hearts reach out for. So when he said, "Follow me," there was a resonance there. But the story ends with the word fear, for they were afraid. And that's significant for our own journey, for our own journey to continue with hope. Have you ever been afraid and denied Jesus as a result? Fled like the disciples did? Ever do that? I have. Fear, although it's the final word in the gospel, is not the final deterrent for the story to go on in the gospel. Oftentimes in the Gospel of Mark, the disciples are afraid. Nevertheless, they persisted. They followed in the midst of their fear. Nevertheless, they were afraid when Jesus invited them in the boat, the two crossings in the sea, both times, chapter 4, chapter 6. They were afraid, but they stayed with Jesus and followed. The Mount of Transfiguration, they were afraid, but they stayed with Jesus and followed. When Jesus told them that he was going to be crucified and rejected, executed, they were terrified, but continued to follow. When he told them that they had to take up their cross, and again, when he began marching toward Jerusalem for that fateful and final end, they followed. They were there, except when he needed the most. They left. And even the women on the morning of the resurrection were terrified, filled with fear. And instead of doing what the young man in the tomb said, they fled and told nobody nothing. That's where the story ends. But it doesn't. Because those who came after Mark, those who read Mark's story, knew that the women did tell. Knew that the disciples did meet Jesus in Galilee. They knew that the story went on, but the fear is significant. Because for the story to go on, to continue, it can't simply be a celebration filled with hallelujahs, Jesus is risen, filled with celebration and beauty and music and fire, important and wonderful as they are. What is needed is for us to be honest about the things that we are afraid of. To acknowledge that I don't want to go there. I would much rather turn the channel on TV or fill myself up with some other distraction, because as a reader, you and I, as as the disciples in the gospel know that as they follow Jesus, the promise with all of its beauty and healings and recalibrating what human existence is like, calling forth that which is most deep within us and resisting those dehumanizing powers without becoming beasts themselves, that we see in the gospel, but with that promise, we also now are aware of the peril. That following Jesus, saying to the darkness, I beg to differ, might end up like the reading from Exodus this evening, where terrified by the Red Sea, we see Pharaoh's army with 600 picked chariots, and we know the jig is up. And then surprise, surprise, the waters part, and we go through safely. There are stories throughout history where God has opened up doors that people could not imagine and they lived. But there are also stories where it didn't end that way, where it ended as it did with Jesus, with rejection and torture and execution in the most brutal way, with public shaming. And with the last words that he hears, the crowds jeering at him, blasphemer, deluded, and his own last words, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? And yet, it doesn't end there. God raised Jesus from the dead. And Jesus isn't in the tomb. He's on the way. He's out there. He's moving. He's going. He's in Galilee, meeting the disciples there. He's in our own history, our own Galilees, in our own world, meeting us in the darkness that we inhabit, both out there and the darkness inside that causes us to cave into the fear, to fill the holes inside with things unreal that steals our character, to paraphrase Mumford and Sons. That does not have to have the final word. Jesus is out there in that darkness and says to you and me, follow me. So with our fears, we get up and follow. But amazing to me is the way that it's phrased, say to the disciples and Peter, even Peter, Peter who denied the one that he loved at the moment of greatest need. This story is a call. It is God's invitation to Peter, to the disciples, to you and me. In the midst of our life, which sometimes is filled with infidelity and fear, sometimes we flee. That fleeing itself, Peter's ache and pain in his own heart, the darkness there is not the final word, but forgiveness, welcome home. What Peter hears is, there is a way to be good again. Meet me in Galilee. Walk with me. Follow me. In your life, with my spirit guiding you. In your life, your flesh, your body, say to the darkness, I beg to differ. Let the way that you live be a witness that I live. This is an invitation to continue the good news that began with Jesus in Galilee at the beginning of March. This evening, you and I have an opportunity to renew our baptismal vows. As Bonhoeffer reminds us, it's not about doctrine. It's about following Jesus. It's about putting our lives on the line wherever he is. Because as Bonhoeffer said, when Jesus calls us to follow, he bids us to die. But with the promise that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus. Not death, not shame, not our fear of insecurity or ridicule, nothing. Because the power that it took to raise Jesus from the dead is the power that is available to you and me, says the writer of Ephesians, that our eyes may be open, that we may see it. That power which brings warring factions together, that power which lets us embody that there is neither male or female, Jew or Gentile, bond or free, those accidents of history that keep people apart and isolated in their own bubbles, that the power of the resurrection is there to help us, in Jesus' name, stitch fractured and broken humanity back together again, so that we and all God's children may be free. So tonight, if we're afraid, may we respond to the invitation to meet Jesus in Galilee with the words of the old hymn, "Just As I Am." With fightings within and fears without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. And now may the one who walked on wounded feet walk with us to the end of the road. May the one who served with wounded hands help you and me serve one another. May the one who loves with a wounded heart be your love always. Bless God wherever you are. May you see the face of Jesus in everyone you meet. May they see that face in you. Alleluia. Christ is risen.